Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Today is Wednesday, November 2nd, the day after the election.
Don't scare me, man.
It hasn't happened yet, but next Wednesday we'll probably have a new president.
Probably.
Unless it's like something like Bush and,
yeah, I guess you're right.
And Gore, you know,
God,
that's all I'm
saying. Please don't be that close.
Well, you know what? The polls are saying
I know. I don't.
What are you
going to
do about that?
I don't know. Yesterday I was all like, everyone is freaking out. And then today I'm like, I'm also freaking out. No, it's 45-46. I mean, we are right on the edge. And people at the early voting is not coming out as favorable to Clinton as we had hoped.
Really?
Yeah. In the black voting, it hasn't been as large as we had hoped. We'd hoped it'd be like sort of a landslide to show Trump is obviously not fit. But I don't know if it's going to be like that.
Right. You see, I think one thing you guys are forgetting, it's not just about the person, it's the ideology too. I mean, how is a Republican going to vote for someone who's, in our language, let's say, bastardized the Constitution, or at least make it a living thing, whereas we believe it's written in stone, you know?
Yeah.
So things like that, you know, the fear of socialism, all that stuff. I mean, it's not just a white thing.
No, I'd agree with you. I just think when you say we're not just voting for people, we're voting for, like, policy and ideology, Trump has made this all about himself. He hasn't made it about policy.
That's true.
So his whole campaign is personality. And if you're voting for Trump, you're voting for personality as a person. He has offered you nothing with specifics. Nothing.
Right.
Other than I'm going to deport and build a wall, that's not enough for you to say, yeah, he has my ideology. Because, you know, years ago, he was a Democrat.
Yeah.
So I don't think you can trust his ideology. Mm. I think what someone said, he's a poor person's version of what a rich person is. Mm. And I thought that was like, you know what I'm saying? People think, oh, if I were rich, I'd be like him, gold everywhere. And you know what I'm saying? But this man is a chameleon. And yeah. I think you can't trust. You're voting for him if you're voting for Trump, his
right.
personality. So it is about people. It's just unfortunate because she's so unlikable.
Yeah.
If she had just been Joe Biden or Michelle Obama.
Joe Biden would have run with it.
Killed.
If he had killed. Yeah.
And whether you say it's a sexist thing or not, she isn't charismatic or warm as we usually see within like the Clinton Obama family. Mm. She does say, I know I'm not like Bill or Barack or Michelle.
Right.
Yeah. And she isn't. And she's shady as fuck. You know what I mean? But I still like, hands and feet will vote for her and be happy to have her in the White House. But
why?
I'm saying.
But isn't it a lot because you're liberal and she's the liberal candidate?
So you're also
voting because of who your party is.
But
who
she
your
has laid
are.
Out policies that I followed that are very specific.
Right, but she's more likely to follow liberal policies than conservative policies.
So, absolutely.
So I think he's also likely to be more conservative than liberal. But also what I'm saying, the point I wanted to make is, you know who's got, who I'm watching, not because he's great, but because he's got the biggest dilemma, is Paul Ryan.
Oh, man, that poor man is on a tightrope
right?
walk.
The thing is that, look, he can't, like, not support his party.
No.
But then, he's torn about the man, and I feel the same way, but...
I think a lot of Republicans feel like Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of Republicans feel like, well, what the hell am I supposed to say or do?
Right, exactly.
And what he did is sort of be an ostrich and stick his head in the sand and say, I'm only doing stuff for Congress. He just said, basically, I don't want to hear about it.
Right.
Which is kind of an interesting leadership technique. However, I think, for instance, Lindsey Graham has outright denounced Trump. And I think his popularity has grown because of that. I think Paul Ryan's credibility dips if he... I wish he had unendorsed.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
But he didn't. And he just stayed
But he
like,
has to. He has to. I'm
tough.
Telling you. He's
it's
in
very
a position
tough.
Where he has to.
Yeah.
And you can tell how much distaste he has for Trump.
Oh,
so it's not a secret,
no.
But we'll see what happens with the polls, you know. I mean, but the polls are like, you never know. That's what I'm saying. You never know. Right. It's like, you know, it maybe shows a different trend, but I don't think the numbers right. are accurate.
And there's, again, the margin of error is 3 to 5 points. Nate Silver, who I still go by, who's the guy from Moneyball with the algorithms and all that, still says Hillary will win, but not in a landslide. Mm. But it is making me want to drink a lot of alcohol, like early in the morning.
When it's this close, it's hard to predict. If it's not going to be by a landslide, it's hard. It's hard to predict.
And I mean, I don't think Texas would ever go for Hillary. People are saying it's up in the air. There's no way it'll go for Hillary.
Yeah.
But I was hoping more swing states would be more up in the air, but it's coming down to the wire.
I know, and they're very close in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, which Arizona. Is like a key state, so we'll see what happens there. Yeah. Yeah, Pennsylvania too.
I know.
That's like they're saying that Trump needs the women in Pennsylvania.
Philadelphia suburbs.
Right.
They need soccer moms.
Yeah, that's what you were saying. Yeah.
Yeah, and I got to be honest, American Psychological Institute has put out coping techniques for stress-related election-induced stress.
Really?
And it's the first time they've ever done it. And I'm like, maybe I should look into it.
Yeah, right?
You know? Like,
a support group.
Oh, my God. Like just a forum or something. Having a tough time over here.
Yeah, that's funny, huh?
So, yeah, it's not been an easy 2016. It's not.
It hasn't. Well, it's almost over, you know. What can you do?
Yeah.
In a few minutes, we're going to have a guest calling in. I don't know where he is. We'll find out where he lives.
I bet anything in
He's
San Diego.
He's a musician. Yeah, right?
Always San Diego.
Everybody's in San Diego. But we'll see. So he's going to call in. We're going to listen to some music. So it'll be real cool. A hip-hop artist.
Ooh.
So that should be cool. So, yeah. So we'll talk, I guess, some more politics. There's some other things going on. But I guess before we go to that, did you hear that Bono made Glamour's Women of the Year list?
Yeah, fuck you. Glamour magazine.
Right.
Women of the Year, and they had some great women.
Right.
Not only is Bono on there, which I have to admit, they do categorize it as their first Man of the Year, which is fair.
Right.
But you put Gwen Stefani on your Woman of the Year in a year where Hillary is running for the first female or Michelle someone.
Gwen
Stefani?
But that's the thing. You have to think of who the audience is for Glamour, right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, who are they? I don't know. But
I guess you're right, but I think Gwen Stefani, what has she done?
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. I mean, in our society, celebrity is like royalty for us, you know, and we worship those celebrities that all they have is being famous. I mean, to be able to sing, cool, you know, everybody can write cool songs,
and
many people have great voice, but it's that celebrity that does it.
Yeah, and it's just to me, it's not like I don't like Gwen Stefani, nor do I, not think she has a great voice. But if I were saying 2016, my cover of Women of the Year, and it's not...
Yeah.
Someone of sort of more political importance. Gwen Stefani?
Yeah.
I love her, but she put her in like the third or fourth.
Right.
Don't put her first.
But did you get a chance to read on why they picked her?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, and it was a voting situation. So you're right. It is like, who are the eyeballs getting to Glamour? Who wants to see? Well, they voted. And like, you know.
The readers voted?
Yeah, but I'm not sure if it was all the readers' vote that went into the cover.
Right,
do you know what I mean?
Because sometimes the editors and stuff do
exactly.
That.
But again, the Bono thing was like, really? You couldn't fit another woman in there.
Right.
It just is a little weird. I get it from one point of view. You're trying to include men, but come on. Like, we haven't had a chance to really explode, so let it be this year, you know?
But you know what? Maybe they're trying to say, you know what? We've come a long way, whereas we can make room for a man.
Yeah,
you know?
But Bono has enough awards and acclamations,
that's
you know?
True.
Let
that's
him do...
True. No, I agree with that.
You could bring up a woman no one's ever heard of and give her a little, you know, credibility and some exposure, rather than Bono.
That's true.
Although he does an amazing amount of work for gender equality, I just think maybe someone you haven't heard of would be interesting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But I still don't like his music, so, but that's beside the point, you know?
But, he has helped billions of people, yeah.
Yeah,
he has. Melinda Gates, like she was on the back cover. She would have been like, I would have loved that as a woman, you know? She saved billions of lives. Maybe something, you know? I love Gwen Stefani, but.
I know, we keep qualifying that, but that's the thing. There's like, nothing wrong with Gwen, but I don't know. So that's why I'm interested to find out why they picked that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure she chairs. I kind of skip forward. She also looks kind of different to me. Like, I used to love Gwen Stefani, but her face is real plasticky. And
really?
Like,
did did her face change?
I don't know. I'm not going to call someone out, but they certainly looks it to me. So I'm calling it out. I don't know, guys. But here I'll say is, I'm sure she chairs a charity or she's in charge, and I'm sure she does great work.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I was a little displeased with the choice, but one of my bah humbug, go Gwen Stefani.
Yeah, exactly. Who cares anyway, you know? But it's not that important, really, you know? But people are saying...
it's a little controversial. I'm sure they meant it to be.
Yeah.
Bono being on in there.
Look what... there's a tweet here. I don't know who Tempest Rose is, but... Well done, Glamour Magazine, for completely undermining an award meant to spotlight women in a world already focused on rich white men.
That's the problem. Is like we've already gotten Bono focused on, you know? She's right. Rich white men, we've 10,000 years of you. Give us one more woman.
And on top of everything, he says, I probably don't deserve it.
Yeah.
You know?
What are you doing?
I'm sure I don't reserve it, he said.
He still hasn't found what he's looking for. Yeah. I don't know. I'm over it, man.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, but I thought maybe just one more woman. They couldn't find one more. I got it. So it was a little controversial.
Yeah, a little bit.
Ay.
So
the Cubs won, though. That's exciting.
They did?
They forced in a game 7.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So game 7 is on.
What a they cool had a World whole, Series, huh?
Yeah, they had a Grand Slam home run, 4 runs in, and people went crazy.
Wow, so it's anybody's win tonight,
yeah.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. This is
tonight?
It. I think tonight, yes, tonight will be the World Series finale. So exciting.
Wow. Yeah, huh?
Yeah.
Except I'm totally not into baseball, so...
But
it sounded like one of those cartoon characters, right? Like Porky. Yeah, Porky.
Oh, you know, like baseball is a slower sport.
Yeah.
Apparently, someone did a study, and the ball is actually in play only like 2.5 minutes.
Really?
For the whole
I would say
game.
The same with football, too, wouldn't you say?
No, but football's thrown a lot. The baseball's literally in the air for a very short amount of time in baseball. It's a lot of standing around.
Right. But there's more like playing the ball than there is in football. I mean, in football, like 90% of the time is just getting ready for that run or that pass. And then it's like, I mean, how long does each play run? You know, what, 1-2 seconds? You know, usually.
Yeah, but in football, there's like, you have to do 4 downs, and each down is an action thing. In baseball, it's like ball 1.
Yeah.
Ball 2.
No, absolutely. But you know what the funny thing is I grew up on soccer.
I know,
and
it's so funny.
And basketball.
Soccer and basketball, yeah.
Yeah, so then football is slow.
Because soccer is never ending.
Right.
Never stopping.
It never stops.
But see, to me, I'm like, I got to have a break.
Yeah.
Chill out.
I know. I don't know how they do that, you know. I mean, they replace players during the game and stuff. But it's still, yeah. So when you grow up with soccer and then football comes and there's like strategy.
But soccer's weird too because like goals, like the score is always like 0-0.
Right, exactly. Nothing ever happens.
Nothing happens. It's just back and forth. And I'm like, I get Americans just are not into it as much. Really.
No, it's true.
It's interesting.
But that's the thing. I think it shows you that it's not just about the scoring. It's just about the game itself.
Yeah, no. Soccer is by far the biggest sport in the world.
Yeah, you know, I mean, people probably go... get the adrenaline going on, you know, on the almost goal, or like it's getting really close.
Of a goal.
Exactly. We're getting near, but no touchdown.
It's like so weird how avid and rabid people get too.
Right.
Like there's riots and I'm like, they're just kicking stuff.
Yeah.
Very interesting Americans. We don't get it at all. My friend works at Fox Sports and he's in charge of the soccer division. And I was like, your job could not be more boring to me.
Whoa.
But I get it.
Yeah. Some people are into it. Maybe it's just because you, when you grow up with it in your culture, that's what you have, you know?
No,
we have American football. You don't see that anywhere.
I know.
Here.
It's dreadful. I mean, soccer really is the biggest sport in the world. We're all like, no, screw it. Let's beat each other up.
But that's what America's about.
Always.
We're going to do things our way, you know?
McDonald's.
Exactly. Everybody's metric. We're going to be not
metric. So useless. Yeah. We're going to do the inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little bit backwards, but hey, we stand out.
Yeah.
We're unique.
That's true. Okay, our guest is calling in now, so we're going to take our call, and we're going to be joined by Shook Jackson. Are you on the line with us?
No, this is Casey.
Oh, it's Casey. What the hell's going on?
No, I heard you guys talking about soccer. And then
I knew he was calling. I mean, if I did not think of Casey when we were talking soccer,
is Casey a big
soccer I wouldn't
fan?
Be Sam. Yeah, but go ahead, go ahead.
Casey's nuts about soccer.
Yes,
but I went to college on American football scholarship, which is weird. Oh. So I don't even watch American football anymore. I only watch soccer.
So really? Can you give me two interesting things about soccer that you love watching?
I love the fan passion.
Okay.
The fan base is incredible.
That's true.
And I love that. I love how a team gets bounced. Like, say if you're in the NFL, and you finish last place, you would get bounced down to, let's say, the Canadian League, and then the best team in the Canadian League would come up to the NFL. Mm. So that's what I love about soccer. If you, you get punished for not being a successful team. You get dropped out. I mean, that's what I love about soccer. You get punished for getting... You get punished for not being a successful team, so you get dropped to the lower division, and the best team in the lower division moves up. So it's a lot of pressure to be successful.
Right.
So you can't just have a, like, for example, you can't just have a team where, for example, years ago the Clippers used to make a lot of money, but they would finish in last place. But it, you could do that in soccer, but you still, if you finish in last place, they will drop you to the lower division. So it's a little bit humbling, and it's a little, it tears you apart when your team doesn't do well. So that's why... When Sam sees me Monday mornings, because I get up, Tori, I get up 4 a.m. every weekend just to watch
soccer. It's so weird. No, these are my soccer
friends.
Because
he watches it overseas.
Of course. No,
but,
it's soccer
but
friends.
But be honest, Casey, do you watch any American soccer?
Silence.
I used to because my cousin, no, I don't.
Yeah, that's our point. That's what we were trying to
but
say.
But I'm a loyal, I'm, you know, Sam, I'm loyal. I'm loyal to a fault.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
The soccer fans are rabid and loyal.
I can't share my passion for with another team. I wish I could. I grew up an LA Galaxy fan because I'm in LA, but I was born in Jamaica, and my mother loved Manchester United.
I was going to say you're Manchester United. It's always Manchester United or Barcelona. Yeah, I don't know any
or
team.
Liverpool.
Or Liverpool. Yeah, those three. Yeah. Those
I have them tattooed on my body.
Oh wow.
Wow.
It's so weird.
Yeah,
people
I'm
are avid, avid, rabid fans.
Yeah, I know.
And Sam could tell you, Tori, it controls my moods. Like I could come in here so down in the dump.
Yeah.
And
wow.
But
so they still have. Casey, they still have those teams in the UK like Liverpool and Chelsea. And,
oh yeah, Chelsea is the other one I remember.
Right,
yeah.
And all these groups. I know,
hey,
but
guys, I love you, but I have to run. I'm
yeah,
she
bye,
to go
Casey.
Play soccer.
Thanks for calling. Bye. All right, he called it during what he has to do in the morning, but that's not our guest. So hopefully the guest will call in.
Yeah, we'll see.
I never got a confirmation. I sent him a confirmation last night. So
oh, maybe he's playing.
Probably
soccer.
Not gonna happen.
Classy.
So we'll see. I don't know what's going on, man. But so yeah, so we were talking about soccer, you know, and that's the thing. So so I think we pretty much beat that one
to
death.
Yeah, I think that's a dead horse. I think so. I think so.
So I was gonna go to segue over to the real reason Van Gogh sliced off his ear.
Wow.
Did you see that
okay.
One?
Is there any kind of segue you could go with? Van Gogh. No, I don't have it. I don't have it.
Yeah. Well, apparently, I mean, of course, they can't prove anything, but it's more like assumptions or. You know, suggestions. So I guess somebody wrote a book on him, and he's saying that he believes it was because he was despondent because he heard his brother was getting married.
Theo.
Yeah. Is that... Yeah, Theo.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm very smart.
That was the name of his brother?
Yeah. Theo.
Wow.
I'm very smart.
That's smart. I would never know
it's
that.
It's because one. I'm an art history major.
Oh, okay.
But he wrote... The only thing we have of Van Gogh are obviously his paintings and his letters to Theo. So those letters have become the background. They're very famous. So
okay,
his
gotcha.
Correspondence with Theo went all the way to where they... Some people say he killed himself. Some people didn't. He walked into a field and was... They found dead from a gunshot wound. But he wrote to Theo about his despondency and all that. And yeah, apparently him cutting off his ear was out of depression and almost like a cutter, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, exactly. Yeah. But maybe he tried to symbolize his fear of being cut off from his brother too.
Oh, okay.
You know, because
okay.
I mean, they're saying because he figured that if his brother gets married, he'll abandon him financially
and
emotionally.
He depended on Theo completely for everything.
Right.
Maybe it's like
he didn't want to
hear about it. So
yeah,
he cut off
right.
his, no, that's terrible.
Wow.
But then some people say it was the whole ear. Some people say it was just a
the
little
lobe,
inch, the
right.
lobe. So there's a Van Gogh kind of... Everyone's always fascinated by Van Gogh, but what's so fascinating is he never knew any bit of success until he was dead.
Right. And he's
no, but like, he's the famous one.
Right. But wasn't like Mozart the same thing?
No, Mozart
Beethoven?
No, they were highly
really?
Loved. Oh, yeah.
So who was it that was like, he only was made, his stuff became famous later, you know?
And
I think that happened with many artists, wouldn't you say? I mean, you have the art history.
Usually Van Gogh is known as the epitome of the posthumous artist. So that it was only, he didn't sell a painting. He didn't, usually the Impressionists, Monet, they were all you know, coveted in salons.
And they were big and stuff.
And Mozart was creating operas and for kings and stuff. But Van Gogh was just poor and sad, and he couldn't hear us, poor man.
Yeah.
Fascinating artist.
Yeah, so. No, but that's cool. I mean, it's nice to know about this art history and stuff.
Oh, it's,
you know, I never knew all these things.
Very interesting people.
Yeah,
very,
you see, at least you got something out of your major. You
I
know?
Did. I can talk about this useless. No, I love it. My mom's a docent at the National Gallery of Art, and she always goes to Van Gogh and does a painting of him and then goes to his self-portrait. And it's funny because she goes, what is this? This is a selfie. And they go, they get it. The kids are selfie, self-portrait. So sad.
Selfie, that's
so terribly
true, right?
Sad. It's true. And then she'll talk about bling on certain things, and she tries to get you into it. She's trying to get it updated.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah, like the specific jewelry people wear. So it's very interesting.
Yeah. What museum is she in?
She's in the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C., the Smithsonian.
Oh, that's a big deal, right?
Big deal. She's been there 15 years.
Wow.
She's great. She makes the kids lay down and look up at the architecture. She's very, she has them sketching. She's great.
Really?
She's one of those cool
teachers.
So she's
mostly showing kids and stuff?
It's almost all schools.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
She does tours.
That's fun, you know?
But she's like one of the fun ones instead of like... Hello,
right.
This is Van Gogh.
That's good because it's important for kids, you know, to be able to relate.
And in the Smithsonian, it's all free. Every Smithsonian is free for anyone, which is a lot of people don't know that. Any museum in D.C. that's a Smithsonian is absolutely free to walk into. All families free. Any free one's free. So not only that, so you have inner city kids coming on the buses, seeing it. And she goes, how much do you think it is to get into this museum? And they'll go, $50, $100. And no one knows. And she's like, it's free. And they're like, what?
Wow.
And you can touch some of the sculpture. And so she makes them all rub it and see it from different angles. And it's very cool.
She's
very hippy-dippy cool.
Very nice. She needs a little documentary on her.
Maybe I should do one. You're right.
Yeah.
And she sometimes is in a wheelchair. So she sees the painting at the height of the kids because she's much lower.
Right.
And the painting is different at a different perspective.
That's true, right?
So it's very cool. And then she'll make them push her around. To have little races. It's very weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
How cool.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So they think they found Amelia Earhart's bones.
Really? Again?
Yes. This is the 80th time. But this time they found her bones near lit bonfires and bird bones and fish bones, meaning she was a castaway for at least weeks to months, they think.
And eating.
She sent over 100 distress signals. So they think she actually survived the famous plane crash in Kiribati, this island. They found a skeleton, and they thought it was male, but then they just today researched and said it matches her completely. And they are doing more research, but they found bonfires near her and bones. So she had been surviving for at least, they say, weeks, maybe months.
Really?
Yeah.
I wonder who found it. Is it like people that constantly look for it?
I think there's like Amelia Earhart fans.
Yeah, they look for it constantly.
It's like the Yeti.
Yeah. It's like a mystery that hasn't been solved and somebody's trying to solve
it. Yeah, it's like the JonBenet. We can't let it go. You know what I mean? It's constant. But Amelia Earhart, man, she's a pioneer. Put her in Glamour magazine.
Yeah, there you go.
Switch out Bono. Seriously. So.
Well, yeah, so that's going on. Guest not calling in yet, meaning he's not going to call in.
Classy.
Yeah. Oh, well, what are you going to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. A pair of Washington parents accused of injecting three children with
heroin. I saw that.
Tori, what is that all about?
I don't know.
I mean, what are people doing?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, they need to be... I mean, I don't
Washington
know.
State?
Tacoma.
Weird.
Yeah.
Weird. What's the point?
Yeah.
Maybe to get the kid to stop crying?
Injecting the three kids with heroin.
Three
at home,
kids?
They said, it feel good medicine.
God,
wow.
That's so nasty.
24 and 25 years old. I mean, what the hell is this, man?
These people should not be parents.
No, exactly. You know, and sometimes you wonder, should we have any, like, tests for people to go through a vetting process?
I was going to say, where's the vetting process for motherhood?
For motherhood.
And fatherhood. It wasn't just
as
you.
Well. Yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, where are all these fathers that abandoned their families?
My God, that's disgusting. No, there's just some whacked out stories. Let's see here if something... good. Uplifting.
Upbeat.
Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Please.
A kid went into a coma and came out speaking fluent Spanish.
Wow, but that's not the first time I've heard something like that, right?
No, this is actually, I did a report on this. People have come out speaking background language that they heard in their past or childhood fluently, and he literally couldn't speak English.
Wow.
It tends to go away, and his English comes back. But wouldn't that be crazy?
Is that something?
What if, you know what I would do? I would go on a coma and wake up speaking sign language. I would be like, hello.
But I wonder how it is, though. If you never he never learned
apparently
the language?
In his background, like, someone spoke at his grandfather in passing when he was very little. So it's usually someone that you've had as a baby that's stored somewhere
right,
in the brain.
Right, that has to be there.
Yeah, that has to be there. And he was fluent.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very weird.
I mean, I wouldn't come up, but they have said that some people came up with new languages altogether, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, they have, like gobbledygook, but then they have people speaking Hebrew. I mean, it's very weird.
Yeah,
but it's
usually,
or Welsh. There's a famous woman who came in with a Welsh accent and everything.
Really?
But okay. Apparently she had it in her background too. So it's like this weird part of the brain.
Yeah.
But
that's true. But I don't think it's something where you could just learn it if you never exposed
to it. No, I don't think you can come out of nowhere. Yeah.
Which is like one of the books I've been reading. And in fact, we're going to have one of my favorite. Didn't we talk about this when you were here about the book with the Game Changer with the Mossad agent and all that?
Mm-mm.
Was that? No.
Mm-mm.
So because that was, it seems to me like the book just came out yesterday because he just came out with a new book. But we were talking about, these are books about like new developments in technology. Have you ever read Michael Crichton?
Of course.
Yeah. So the stuff like that.
He wrote Jurassic Park. Yes. Absolutely.
Yes.
He wrote
a lot of things.
Oh, I know.
Did you know that he wrote ER too?
Yeah, and he died very young at
yes.
like 60. He did write ER. He wrote a lot of things you wouldn't have noticed.
Yeah, exactly.
Great guy.
But even the Andromeda Strain, before he was famous, that's what he wrote. You know, that was a very big movie in the 70s.
Yeah, he was a pioneer.
Yeah.
May he rest, Mr. Crichton.
And they made movies on just about most of his books.
Very interesting.
Congo and...
Congo was great, wasn't
yeah,
it? With
Congo
that terrible CGI gorilla. Wasn't
yeah,
that just a terrible spec? It wasn't even, it was like a guy in a suit.
Yeah, it wasn't CGI back then.
Wasn't
yeah.
it just terrible?
It was. But I remember the book was good.
Oh, yeah.
And
Jurassic Park was one of my favorite books growing up.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That was cool.
A great book.
But Jurassic Park, by the time it had come out, he had a few great books already. So I knew I was like tied to him for life.
Yeah.
And so this this author Douglas, I always forget. Wait, Douglas, why did I forget his last? No, it's okay. It's okay. It's Doug. I'll come back with
it's
the name.
Just Doug.
I'm so embarrassed that I forgot his last name suddenly. It's like I'm just totally blanking out.
Doug.
But Doug Richards, of course. And so he's written books and I'll invite him to come and talk about or call. And guess where he lives?
Where? San Diego. God dang it. Why is everyone in San Diego? You know who else is there?
Carmen San Diego.
Where in the world? She's there, man. She has it in her last name.
I know. What else can you say?
This is interesting. It's a Japanese restaurant that's now become wildly popular in Japan. It's a chain called Ichiran. And what it is you sit in a booth alone and you can't talk or speak, or you can have your phone and you're in a booth and you slurp noodles in solitude.
Wow.
And it's become this, people wait in line
really,
to go
be
sit
alone.
By themselves. And it's supposed to be a Zen model of, it's open 24 hours a day, 60 locations, and now it's incredibly popular. Diners speak to no one, not even upon arrival. So a little light panel indicates when booths are open and food options are limited. So that's very weird. So anyway.
Yeah, so you can count on, this opening in the States too, obviously.
They said it just is having one starting in the States.
Right.
And apparently the waiters don't show their faces, just a pair of hands appears. And puts a bowl out in front of you.
Oh my God.
Sounds
like a glory hole.
It sounds like a glory hole.
Wow.
It's like in a Russian gulag.
It is.
Why would she want
just hands?
It? Very strange.
Wow.
Just hands.
I know. Who does that?
That couldn't be more creepy. Hands just giving me some noodles. Well, that's interesting.
I know. Wow.
Well, YMCA apparently is declaring free daycare for anyone who wants to put their kid in while they vote.
Wow. Oh, so only on one day.
Yeah, yeah. But it's great because, it's,
it's
fantastic, actually.
It really is. So talking about people that, or about voting.
Yeah.
I asked my parents. I said, well, how are you guys going to vote? Because it's hard to get you out of the house and stuff.
Oh, sure.
Let's do like mail-in or absentee or something, right? But that was yesterday. That was today. Like,
no, they got to go.
They hadn't even registered yet. And we didn't even think about registering them.
Oh, no.
Like a few months ago.
Oh, no.
You know? So now I have to break it to them that you guys are not voting.
Can they go in a wheelchair or no? Too difficult.
No. I mean, we can take them there, yeah. But they're not registered.
Oh, I see. So they can't anyway.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Unless they're still registered from many years ago.
You know what I would do? Right. I would just put out a piece of paper and let them write the names, pretend that they voted,
right,
and put it in an envelope and just pretend.
That's true,
and just
right?
say, good job.
I know.
Because they're not going to know. My apparently 102-year-old woman who was born before women were allowed to vote just did her early vote for the first time and broke into tears.
Wow.
And voted. She did vote for Hillary, but that's beside the point. Yeah. She got to vote, so that was exciting.
How cool is that?
Yeah, 102 huh? years old.
But let me ask you this. If you register to vote once, do you stay registered?
I think, you have to.
Yeah, because you
update.
Have to be on the list, right?
Yeah, your address has to be registered.
But
yeah.
Sometimes I hear that you can actually go in. There's a way to do it where even if you're not on the list, you can vote.
Yeah, it's sort of like a VIP room. Like if you flirt with the bouncer, you can get
you
in.
Think
no,
so?
I don't think so. But different states are different. Like some people don't even need IDs. Some states you do. Some
right.
people need two states.
So maybe it's worth it just to take them there and see what happens.
Why
right?
not? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Even if we'll just to get them out.
Here,
just to
yeah.
get them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I can't wait to put that I voted sticker on my head
right?
all
Isn't
day.
Cool? I mean, that's the amazing thing about democracy, though. You know, I mean, we can do it.
I know.
We take it for granted.
And people
you know?
Say, my vote won't count. And then you think of these people in India that wait 12 hours to vote without, you know, they wait in line. And
in line.
Like you're taking your vote for granted, honey.
Right. Yeah. And then they take days to count the votes. 100%.
And it's probably corrupt, but they're still doing
yeah,
it. You
right.
know, so it's like, your vote does matter.
Exactly.
And Susan B. Yeah. Anthony, it's her grave is being covered with I voted stickers from women.
Nice.
She's the suffragette that,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, the suffragette.
And so people who, women are now putting, and someone was like, you're desecrating her grave. I'm like, I'm sure Susan B. Anthony would be fine with women voting and showing that they voted on her grave. So her tombstone has hundreds of I voted stickers.
I voted stickers
yeah.
on it. Very cool.
Yeah.
You see, so people know how to be nice and do
yeah.
cool
there's always
things.
Good things in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
And then there's those parents injecting their kids with heroin.
I know, you know. But
so
but at least this is positive from the Trump campaign. They denounced the KKK's official newspaper support.
So I didn't know that the KKK had a newspaper.
I know. I didn't either.
Nor did I know someone put on Twitter that they have an arts and leisure section. But I think that was just a joke. I thought that was hilarious.
Well, maybe there is. Who knows? You know, I mean,
what is their arts
newspaper?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, it unites them. Something like that. I don't know that they're focused only on racism, you know.
I think that's the most thing.
Really?
That's the only thing they really concentrate on.
Yeah,
it's not like they're
true.
Into opera and ballet.
But it's not the only, you know.
What?
Or maybe
it?
In their arts and entertainment they talk about racial things.
I don't know. It just seems...
I would be curious to see their newspaper, you know?
Well, yeah.
What people read. What people like...
Can they read? Like, that's my question.
Yeah,
yeah
right?
right?
Well, you never know.
No.
I mean, it's many people are like secretive about it, right? Do you think there's people that secretly... support the KKK, but they won't come out and say it?
Absolutely. I also think I went to Michigan, University of Michigan, and Michigan is actually a lot of suburbs, the home to a lot of, and this sounds crazy, but that's what they're called. They're called Grand Wizards. And these are the leaders of the KKK forms and coalitions.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then they are organized by Grand Wizards, which, I'm sorry, you sound like a moron.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
sound like a moron.
Like out of Harry Potter.
I'm sorry, you sound like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And these Grand Wizards wear these white wizardy hats, and they meet, and there was a lot in Michigan. So I always wondered like in who at Michigan was like an under Grand Wizard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Michigan held a lot of them. It was interesting.
Wow.
It's a hotbed for the KKK. I think it's crazy.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But at least Trump is distancing himself from it, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
At least that,
sure.
you know. So
yeah.
I mean don't get in bed with the wrong element.
He did
there.
It took a while for him to say he disavowed David Duke and then said I don't even know who that is.
Yeah, right.
And they're like, "Oh, you've had several conversations with him over the years." So not good. It's a little scary.
Yeah, a little, right?
I mean, if you're a black person and you're thinking about Trump and he's like not disavowing someone who wants to kill you. Yeah, that's a little, and he might be president. That's a little scary.
A little disturbing, would you say?
Totally.
God.
Yeah. So,
and Obama went off on him yesterday, right?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I think Obama's just letting loose, baby.
He is, man.
Just letting
he can
it loose.
Do it.
Oh, God, I love it.
Because he can, yeah.
Did you see him at the Halloween? The White House always has a Halloween party. I used to go as a kid, and they give out, the president and first lady give out trick or treats, nice. Candy. And someone came as a tiny little boy, came dressed as Prince. And Obama's like, Prince, what up, man? And he's like, Purple Rain. And he starts singing. Then a couple Obamas came through. Air Force kid dressed as Air Force One came through. Some really good ones.
Wow, very cool.
My friend was on Reddit. Her costume was Hillary Quinn instead of Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
It was Hillary Quinn.
Uh-huh.
So she was Hillary, but with like crazy eyes and stuff. It was some funny ones.
There were some funny ones, absolutely. I think it was a good... I got to see quite a few... costumes this year, you know, going to parties and all that. So
yeah.
I get to see a lot of really original ones that are really cool.
Yeah, like a lot of Pokemons.
Right?
A lot of Pokemon,
yeah.
So very interesting.
Even adults, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people into the Pokemon, which I never still understand. But you know what? Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people love it, so there you go.
There you go.
So I got a couple books on tent camping, which is what I've been talking about wanting to do. And it just occurred to me that now I've got all these places I can go to, but the weather's freezing outside.
Right, but
how
am
I going to sleep outside at night?
A lot of campers go in the cold. You don't want to bundle up? No,
I do.
Okay.
I do. I prefer the cold to the heat.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean, can you imagine going hiking when it's hot? I hate that.
See, I'm more of a like, so you could get under a little sleeping bag.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of layers of coats or something.
Coats,
right?
And some mittens.
That's true. And have a fire.
I think it could be fun.
Yeah.
S'more action.
That's true, right?
Yeah.
And obviously you go with someone you can cuddle with. You
got to go with someone you can. It's called, his name is Jack Daniels. No, I'm just kidding. But that will warm you
in
a pinch.
Yeah, it will, right?
That will warm you.
Yeah. So what you're saying is it's actually not that cold yet out here.
No.
To go camping.
No.
So you would go if you could.
I think that...
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not giving up on
that.
No, I'm like, I just spent $30 on these two books that I can't use them for
I think you're fine.
Months.
It's definitely warm. I wore like a tank top and flip-flops yesterday. You're good.
Yeah, but during the day, at night.
Yeah,
it's
no, at night,
cold.
But I think that's like... I think that's the essence of camping.
That's true.
You can see your breath, maybe, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
See the stars.
And not be able to sleep even.
I know.
Who needs to sleep, right,
yeah.
When you're camping?
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I think you should warm up and get yourself into it.
Yeah, definitely. So that's in the works.
Yeah.
I'm also looking at tents.
Nice.
I'm just thinking about it. It would be so cool to be in a tent. Because
I mean, there's...
I haven't been in one. And you know what? If you noticed, I think people have an inclination to be in tents.
Always.
Because weren't you as a kid building tents at home with the chairs and
I
the blankets?
I still build forts.
Really,
I'm not
forts?
Embarrassed to say that for the second debate, I literally made my husband make me a fort so that I could dive into it when I was like really embarrassed
Whoa.
To watch. Forts are the best.
Right?
There's nothing wrong with a fort.
So that's what a tent is like.
It's the same thing.
That's what I realized.
There is a tent, and I'll just email it to you, that you put in the trees and you kind of are like in a hammock.
I saw that.
So you never have to touch the ground.
I know.
It seems like opposite of what you want with camping, but still.
I know,
cool.
I know. So I don't know. We'll see. But I saw they have really cool ones that actually... It sets up in seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Just,
you
yeah,
know,
like a blow,
you don't
yeah.
have to start doing
That's what
the
I
whole
like.
Thing.
There's no sticks and shit.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you still put like, what they call them, like not studs, but whatever in the ground just to keep it firm.
Right.
But not to make it stand up, you know?
I like the one where you just throw it and it becomes
exactly.
a tent.
Exactly. That's what happens.
Yeah, that's
almost,
what I would do.
You know?
No, yeah.
It opens like an umbrella.
No, that's very much, much better for me.
Yeah. So that's cool. And so it seems like there's some nice locations and stuff, so I'm going to start doing that.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, and just do weekends, you know, two nights. I don't have to, 3 days, two nights. I don't have to, like, let it, you know, interfere with my work and everything.
I can't wait to hear your stories and how, like, either lonely and terrified you were or how enjoyable it was.
Yeah. No, I'm not going to go alone.
Okay, good.
I'm not going alone.
Camping alone is very interesting.
No, but I'm not going alone.
Good.
No.
So the North Dakota pipeline, the standoff
yes.
at Standing Rock.
Uh-huh.
An anonymous donor has donated $2.5 million to bail out anyone that gets arrested. Isn't that
really?
Cool? Yeah.
Yeah.
So that anyone being arrested can be
bailed
out.
Why there's even a fight going on there.
I mean, their water's being poisoned. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But Obama came out today because everyone's like, dear Obama, what WTF? What are you going to do about it?
Right.
And he finally came out today and said they are looking at options to reroute the pipeline. So that's all they want is to reroute it. So hopefully this will be settled without more
prison. Obviously. So why hasn't anything been done about it?
It literally, I know they're on Standing Rock. They're literally at a standoff.
Yeah.
And what they're doing now is, and what's crazy stuff has happened. So at the standoff, it's at this landmark. Literally, a line is made in the grass, and it's like police in riot gear and Native Americans. And 1,000 bison ran by 2 days ago out of nowhere. Uh-huh. And then a golden eagle landed on the Native American side and allowed people to touch it. So now everyone's like, God's on their side. and today they brought full-length mirrors. So the Native Americans are showing the riot gear police what they look like and what they've become by holding up mirrors. So it's been somewhat peaceful, a lot of arrests, but it's all they want is water.
Yeah.
All they want is water.
And that's what I'm saying. So who's against that?
A lot of oil companies and people making the pipeline. Yeah. I mean, they brought out a map from the 1800s showing that their land is protected from the original drawing of like North Dakota. I mean, they're going back here.
Yeah, right.
Old school, baby, you know? And Obama hopefully will take care of it. But someone donated, $2.5 million.
I'd like to hear the other side, though.
Yeah, me too.
Because, I mean, to send troops and stuff there, I mean, it doesn't make sense to me, you know?
Now, Mark Ruffalo's there, and he sent solar panels so that they can work without electricity there, so they can stay through the winter.
Awesome.
The Hulk coming in.
Yeah. Mark who?
Ruffalo.
Ruffalo, that's right. Yeah.
Ruffalo.
Yeah, you said Ruffalo.
And I don't know if it is.
I wanted to correct you. It's Ruffalo, I've heard.
Oh, okay.
But in the same breath, I have to apologize to you for Huma.
Oh.
Because I think it's Huma and not Huma. Because I didn't remember there was an H.
Of course.
So if there's an H, it's pretty much Huma.
That's what I thought. It's not Huma Thurman, it's H-U-M-A.
Right.
That's right.
So that's why I had to apologize to you on the air.
Oh, I see.
And
thank you.
I stand corrected.
Now, I thought it might have been a Huma, but it's probably more like a Huma.
Yeah, no, it's Huma because it is a Muslim name, isn't it? Yeah,
I think
so. Huma, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, she's...
Huma.
She certainly has been in some... dark. What do you call it when you're not doing well? Treading water.
Deep
doo-doo. That's what I'll say. She's caused a lot of issues.
She has.
But she's one of her, Clinton's, I think, number three most, out of three people, the most trusted person in the world to her.
Yeah.
So you don't let go of that, you know? That's hard to
that's
let go
true.
Of when you have a very small group of trusted advisors. You don't let go of that, even though her husband, Anthony Weiner. What a dumbass.
I know. But... I also don't think we know everything about Huma Abedin. You know, I think there's more that we don't know.
Yeah, but I also don't think we know enough
don't have
about
evidence.
I don't know about Bannon and Breitbart. Like, I want to know more about Trump's people too. Like
Roger
Ailes, I'd like to know a little bit more too. But
well,
you
might just get. To
I know.
If he gets
elected. No. I will be in Canada. Saying hello,
I feel so bad for Canada.
Oh,
I mean, the whole world is going to tilt.
Canada just made a video being like, "Don't worry, America, you got this."
Yeah.
It's like they're so. I would. Bryan Cranston said I would literally leave the next day.
Really?
Oh yeah. And I, as a woman, to be shutting down Planned Parenthood and abortion rights and Roe v. Wade and all that, and as a person of color and minority, I get the fuck out of there.
Yeah,
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
It's not it's funny and then it's like so not funny.
I know.
So I don't know. I really hope this country shows that it believes in qualified candidates for president.
Because it works for you, that's why.
No, I just think qualification should be, like, again, you wanted to vet for mothers. I think we should really vet for presidency. And I know we do, but like Sarah Palin and Donald Trump are not qualified human beings.
You see, I can't see somebody that's going to change our constitution, that's going to fill the Supreme Court with liberals. I mean, I can't do it.
But can you do
it? How am I going to do it?
I mean, at least she's like a qualified diplomat with the global community. Like, can you really see him talking and tweeting with like
other
countries?
Well, you know what? The world will have to get used to it.
Oh my God, that's so scary. No.
The world will have to get used
I
to
hope,
just like we
God,
get used to their leaders.
Yeah, like
know.
Hitler. We really got used to Hitler.
No, okay, that's going a little too far.
Well, he's been compared.
I know he has, but certainly. I don't see that it's. I think it's insulting, really, to the victims of Hitler. But that's me.
Yes, I feel.
But to happier things. Are there any happier things? I mean, I don't know what's going on. I'm definitely going to close the pages of our guest because he's definitely not calling in.
I guess this is interesting.
Yeah.
Because who cares? You know how every holiday Starbucks makes a cup? It started last year, and people get outraged because it used to be you get the red holiday Starbucks cup.
This
is how upset.
And
this is why people are voting for Trump. These are the people voting for Trump.
Come on, that's not true.
It is. Now, this is what happened. Is a new green cup. So each November, the company redesigns the cups. This year, it is a mosaic of more than 100 people drawn in one continuous stroke. And everyone's like, boo, we missed the red cup. It's all about unity and people. And people are like rioting and protesting.
I know.
You have that much time on your hands, people.
I know. And you know, why does everything have to be like politically correct too, you know?
Well, and they're upset that it was. I mean, they tried to make this very PC with a whole group of people being drawn. And people are like, give me my fucking snowflakes.
Right,
I want
exactly.
a holiday
and
cup.
Everybody's got something to complain about,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
It's always something.
It's funny. There's a trick that a pastor taught. And I'm Jewish, so this was weird that I listened to him. But not weird. I'm introduced to a lot of different religions. But he says, put a rubber band on one hand, on a wrist. Uh-huh. And every single time you catch yourself complain, you have to change wrists.
Oh, change wrist.
Change the rubber band, okay?
Not just like hit yourself
with
the band.
No, don't hit yourself. Just simply change it.
Okay.
And notice how many times you are switching that rubber band back and forth, and it really shows you how much you're complaining.
That's true,
so
right?
it's the complaint-free sort of story. So I think it's
interesting. I know, and I've decided recently that consciously I should think more about positive things.
Yeah.
Or how to turn them around in my mind so it goes from negative to positive.
Or
and
not
possible.
Even. But here's the thing in Buddhism, which I'm still trying to get. She says, my teacher, that there's nothing really wrong with negativity. It's the negative spin you put on negativity. Mm. So negative and positive are both just energies.
Right,
and
exactly.
You can be present for both, but we put a spin on negative and a spin on positive. So you always want positive.
Yeah.
But if you can get comfortable with just either one, then you're enlightened,
That's
man.
That's true.
Then you're really golden. Good. But I can't get it there. I'm like, damn
you
it.
You could keep working on it. I mean, I think that's what everybody's trying to do.
Like, my headphone jack isn't working, my phone, and I was like, God, no. And I was like, okay.
Totally desperate,
supposed to be
right?
a Buddhist. Yeah, like,
right.
it's so embarrassing. But
not
yeah,
only
I caught
that,
myself,
but also,
though.
You need to prioritize frustrations, too, yeah. you know? And that's the thing. I used to do that. To me, it's like the smallest thing would be like, the world is collapsing,
yeah,
right?
Everything's shit, yeah.
Yeah. But no, eventually you realize, but wait a minute, this is really, in comparison, this is nothing.
Right. And to be honest, like, this is a negative occurrence that's happening, and you can just be in the moment of being negative. It doesn't have to run off to a whole other thing.
Right.
And so at least, she said, the first step, though, is catching it. So I have made the first step while I was throwing pillows around, I caught myself looking ridiculous. So, hey, that's some progress.
Right. I mean, I must admit that a couple times, well, I don't have to confess, but I'll say it, that when I was at the depth of my bipolar, I remember picking up a computer printer and just throwing it against the wall because printers always made me crazy.
Printers are the worst.
Right. Printers are the worst.
Paper
and
jams.
Especially back, way back when. I mean, I'm talking about like 2000, you know. So I would just be so irritated, and it didn't work for me, and I just threw it against the wall, you know.
Sam, I don't think you're the only one.
Right.
There's a famous scene in
That's
Office
true,
Space
right?
where they take it in slow-mo and bash the computer printer because they
That's
hate it.
That's true, right?
Printers did cause a lot
yeah.
of anxiety. But you're right. I think the anger level is so overreactive.
Right.
And it's usually about technology, isn't it? When technology fails you, it's like someone has punished you.
That's true. Because you feel helpless because there's nobody to go and go, come on, fix the damn thing.
And that's why you should go camping. Because
that's
what brings you back to the lack of technology.
Exactly.
And that's why we should eat at this Japanese restaurant with no technology, just hands giving us a bowl.
I know. That's why, you know, people are saying, well, take a camper or something. I'm like, no, actually, I don't want the computer and the batteries.
You want to just be in
stuff.
The wilderness.
No screens.
Right.
I don't want screens.
Oh, God.
You know, stay away from screens.
Yeah.
And also, another thing that's I think people overreact is road rage, you know?
So that was the two things, traffic and technology.
Right.
If I could just chill out.
Yeah.
And literally, Pema, my teacher, has a Buddhist meditation for traffic jams because she calls it bourgeois suffering.
Yeah.
Because she's like, more people are actually like starving to death. But in America, everyone gets really upset about traffic jams, especially when people cut in the lane in front of you.
Right.
Like, become murderously rageful. And that is very, very scary to me. Why did the level go so high?
Well, you need to find out if there is pent-up anger and why it is there, you know?
Right.
But I also, I think you should be encouraged because, first of all, I think with age, people mellow out.
Yeah.
Another thing I've subscribed to you is a lot of marijuana. And it'll really slow you down a little bit and mellow you out.
Don't smoke and drive. Guaranteed.
The hell with that.
I completely understand. I think that's a really great option for a lot of people. Yeah, I honestly do. I think it's a really mellowing. Especially,
I mean, obviously not when you're driving, but when you come home, you don't still have to be high strung about
it. Hey, this works for family members, relatives, best friends. I know a ton of people.
Yeah.
Hidden, some people not telling people, some people just openly do it, but it calms the nerves in a way that a lot of moms now, instead of the red wine, they come home and have a joint.
Yeah.
That's like the new thing.
There you go.
Nothing wrong with
vape or anything.
Yeah, except that like the government thinks you're doing something terrible.
Exactly.
So everyone go out and vote.
Exactly. And we have Prop 64.
That's right.
So maybe we can talk about that tomorrow a little bit.
You know?
We're totally out of time, folks. Stay tuned for State of the Oceans. A cool, great show. I highly recommend if you're into the environment and sustainability. These people fight for whales and to protect them and everything. So check it out if you want to. Tori, thank you.
Anytime, guys.
Awesome. And
I just wanted to say, chill out on the road and I'm listening to my own advice.
There you go. take up some Buddhism or Kabbalah.
Yeah, exactly. Something.
Yeah. See you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.